Hi, everyone. Welcome to another KE Report webinar, this time featuring Gold Bull Resources. My name is Corey Fleck. I am your host over at the KE Report. And for this webinar featuring Gold Bull Resources, here I am joined by the president and CEO, Sherry Leadon. Now, Gold Bull is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBRC. Sherry is going to walk us through an overall presentation, more or less an overview of the company and the three projects that will have work done this year, as well as give us an update on a recent news release that came out of a resource that was just published for the company. I will be interjecting questions throughout the presentation. And for everybody tuning in, you do have the ability to ask questions by using this platform. Those questions will come directly to me, and I will do my best to work those in throughout the presentation. Time dependent, at the end of the presentation, we also will have a more Q&A time frame or question period for all of you, or for us to address all of your questions. Now, Sherry, I will throw it over to you here. I will let you kick off this presentation. And as I mentioned, please just keep the questions coming in and we will get those addressed as we progress through this webinar. There will also be a recording available, so you are always able to email me some of your questions after listening to this webinar. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Sherry, take us away, please.
Thank you, Corey. It's Gold Bull Resources, listed on the TSX and also on the OTC in the USA under the ticker BLSSF. We're a relatively new company. For those who don't know us, we were born last year, and all of these projects have effectively been vended into the company over the last 3 months. Our mission is to grow into a mid-tier US-focused gold company. And our main focus is Nevada, where the most of our technical team, including myself, based. We're also looking at other mining-friendly states in the USA, such as Arizona and Utah, for other high-quality assets to really bolster our current portfolio. We have a very strong commitment to our stakeholders and also to our communities, our safety and our local interaction, including our environmental best practices, very important to our team and our board. And I think it's something that really differentiates us from a few of our peers. This is a snapshot of our current capital structure, share price around 50 cents, 67 million shares on issue. And that places us with a market cap of just over $30 million Canadian. We've got a strong cash position of $5 million. And given that we've got almost 500,000 ounces defined in the ground, I think that's a very compelling value proposition, that there's limited downside given the resource base that's backing up that market cap at the moment.
Sherry, sorry, can you go back to that one and just recap for everybody the last time the company raised money, because it is right around the current share price. So please highlight that for us.
Absolutely. So the first capital raise of Gold Bull was done in December 2020, so only a couple of months ago, at 50 cents. So we are at that same price where we raised the money at. Myself and my co-directors contributed on the same terms as our shareholders, and we've all put our money where our mouth is. And you can see that the warrants that are out there, most of them are actually at a strike price of 75 cents. So it's got a really clean capital structure, and you know, poised to advance our assets on the ground over the coming months.
Thank you.
I'm supported by a very strong team. Our chairman, Craig Parry, and I go back almost two decades, as do our exploration VP, David Johnson. And we've all worked together in past lives at Rio Tinto, or Lionora in Dave's case. And just a wealth of experience. So although the company's new, we are not new to working with each other. And Craig's just an industry veteran. He's raised almost $200 million for various resource companies over the last 12 months or so. And it's just a pleasure to work with both these guys. Dave Johnson's actually a geophysicist by background. And in the VP role, I think that really indicates that we're going to do things a little differently here in Nevada. We are going to be relying on a large element of geophysics for defining our drill targets and finding more gold resources over here.
Sherry, can you give us a little bit more detail on your background in Nevada? Because you and I have been talking as this company has launched, and you are well versed in the area.
I'd like to think so. I've been over here for almost 7 years, and most of that time was spent in a project generative capacity. I own a company called MV Resources, and would work to seek projects and work on specific mandates to find robust projects for clients, whether it be funds or listed companies, ranging from small to large companies. And it was during that project appraisal review time that I came across a couple of opportunities, including Sandman, that Craig and I decided we like this project so much, we don't want to find a home for it. Let's do something with it. Let's create a lot of value and create a new company around the Sandman asset. And Sandman is one of many others that we've already appraised and reviewed. So we've got a bit of a shopping list of projects that we really like. And hopefully you'll see more action in that space over the coming year or so.
Okay.
And we're supported by a robust team. We've got some industry veterans here. Lindsay Craig's our exploration manager. Lindsay's spent the last three decades knocking about rocks in Nevada and has been involved with a couple of significant discoveries. We've also got one of our most recent appointments was Walt Coles. Walt's the CEO of Skeena Resources, and Craig's actually also chairman of Skeena Resources. And what Walt and Craig have achieved in Skeena in the last couple of years, transforming a $5 million company to a $500 million company on the back of Barrick's non-core assets, is something that I'd really like to model Gold Bull on. I think they've done a wonderful job. And if we can see some companies' non-core assets and really add value and add ounces, I think there's a real business opportunity there. Another recent addition to our teams is Mike Cohen and Keith Peck, both industry veterans with over 30 years experience. Mike's got a wealth of corporate experience, and Keith is really mentoring me with respect to new potential acquisitions that we're looking at. Okay, getting into the projects and some level of detail. So as you mentioned yesterday, we announced a really exciting update for Sandman. We only acquired the project from Newmont in December. And at the time, it had a 309,000 ounce resource. However, that has grown now. So now it's sitting at 494,000. Just looking at this this presentation, this one's not actually the most up-to-date on the website. If you go to our website, you can find the most up-to-date presentation that does include that 494,000 number with details to it. And most of that is in the indicator category and just a phenomenal increase of a couple hundred thousand ounces of gold before we even set foot on the ground. So Sandman, it's located in a renowned gold belt. It's a long strike of the Sleeper deposit, which is a highly prospective target. It's one of the highest grade projects found in Nevada. And we're only about 25 kilometers to the south of Sleeper. We've also got Nevada Gold Mines, Twin Creeks and Turquoise Ridge operation just to the east of us. We're located conveniently near the town of Winnemucca, where we've got we've set up our camp, and that's where our team's going to be based as we attack Sandman and look for more ounces there. Sandman boasts an abundance of data. We purchased the project in December from Newmont, and along with that came all of this data and information. We've got so many drill holes. The resource was based on about 1,000 drill holes, and that resource increase that recently came out was based on the additional drilling that Newmont did between the 2007 resource update and now. So that it wasn't born out of like thin air. It was born out of that additional drilling. Hundreds of drill holes were drilled, and they all amounted to those additional ounces, which we reported yesterday. So this is a snapshot of the updated resource. You can see those very nice numbers, and those grades are highly economic at the current gold price. We've used conservative cutoffs in gold prices to make this pit-constrained resource. Now we've almost got about 500,000 ounces all up. We really do think that this project will likely be developed one day. However, for us, 2021 is going to be about adding more ounces. And we've got a very exciting drill program that's likely going to commence in the next 2 to 4 weeks at the project. And that is really aimed at looking at some of the opportunity that the resource estimate really identified, including resource extensions, but also some targets that have never been drilled before. So on this this slide, it's a summary of our current resources. They're the little red polygons. So that's where we've got that circa 500,000 ounces of gold sitting there, very close to the surface. Most of that's in the top 100 metres. And then the other dots are our proposed drill holes. So we've actually identified 42 high priority targets. However, we'll be drilling 17 of those in round one. And then the idea is that we'll send those to the laboratory and go back after we've got those lab results for the round two to complete the rest of the program. So round one, 17 holes for 3,000 metres. They're fairly shallow holes. They'll vary from about 75 metres to about 250 metres. And you can see that they're spread across four of our targets. A lot of these high-grade targets, which we've previously announced, haven't really been followed up because historically the focus was very much on the surface lower grade oxide type material. And for example, up in the north at North Hill and Silica Ridge, all of that resource is actually oxide material. And that's quite important because oxide you treat, you extract the gold differently to if it was sulfide or fresh rock. So I really like the look of North Hill and Silica Ridge, and we really look forward to trying to extend those resources and ounces in the coming months. And then Silica Ridge and North Hill, there's also some high grade hits. For example, North Hill, we've got 37 meters at 1.5 grams a ton, so wide intervals of oxide material going at decent grades. And then if you go to Southeast Pediment and Able Knoll to the south, that's where you get some really high grade sulfide hits that haven't really been thoroughly investigated. Some numbers, for example, 52 grams over 1 meter and 28 grams over 2 meters at Southeast Pediment. And the Able Knoll is where we're actually going to commence our drill program. And that's where we've got a number of holes that have ended in mineralization, including 10 grams a ton where the hole ended. So we should have that drill program commencing by late Feb, and we'll be announcing our assay results on a regular basis as we receive them from the laboratory.
Sherry, just a couple questions here. You mentioned the differing mineralization of the top two resource areas, but then moving down to South Pediment and Able Knoll. What's the difference in terms of the mineralization that you're seeing in those resources?
Yeah, that there's certainly a difference, mainly in the weathering profile from what we can tell. So the north prospects are the completely oxidized. We don't even have any fresh rock there. So I really like that from an cheap extractability perspective. But then at the southern prospects, we're getting some higher grades, and the higher grades means the extractability of sulfide starts looking quite interesting. One hole, for example, at Able Knoll, the hole number, you can find this in our live presentation, AK0623. For example, 97 metres at 3.6 grams a tonne. And those kind of numbers are quite phenomenal. And that's the hole that actually ended in the 10 grams a tonne. It included intersection of 20 grams a tonne over 8 metres, for example. So really tantalising kind of numbers that just have not been followed up. And that particular hole is open. It's open in all directions. So that's going to be our first hole. We'll put a hole down Able Knoll where we know we've got a mix of oxide at the surface and sulfide at depth, and where it's ended in the 10 gram a ton hole. So I just can't wait, because we don't know if that mineralization is going to extend another 1 meter or is it going to extend another 100 meters. And that's really the fun of this industry, because it really could be a game changer. And that's also why we're doing our drill program in two stages, because we just don't know what we're going to get out of our first 17 holes. And depending on the best targets, that would then really prioritize the remainder of our 5,000 meter program that we've got budgeted for.
Okay, so this first pass really is just getting a handle on where you might see some of the higher grades, some of the more interesting prospects, then going back to those areas. What about permitting here? I'm seeing in the next steps, the bottom aspect there, it says following permit transfer. What information can you give us here?
The permits are just such a blessing, because Newmont went to the trouble of getting a plan of operation, which is a really in-depth environmental impact assessment, essentially, that covers aspects such as the flora, the fauna, cultural resources, surveys, groundwater, and that we've got millions of dollars worth of all that data that translates to our plan of operation. And that's all been granted, and that is all grandfathered from Newmont's plan of operation. And then we go through this transfer process and put it in Goldball's name. So the work has been done. It's just a matter of transferring it. And that's taken a few weeks longer than ordinarily would do because of shutdowns due to COVID within the government organization. So we think that's probably going to be received within the next couple of days. We do have most of the permits. There are about half a dozen permits, and we're just waiting on one more signature to complete those transfers. So for us, our plan of operation really is like a valuable document, and it's an in-depth baseline data for future approvals. For example, if we do take this project to production, a lot of our baseline survey data has been done at a very high quality.
Okay, thanks. One final question then. In terms of these 17 holes, the first pass, how long do you think that'll take?
Well, right now we're debating whether we go 24 hours or 12-hour shifts. So it could be done in, as quick as, say, 3 weeks or as long as 6 weeks. So fairly quickly. 17 holes isn't a lot of holes. So it just depends whether we decide to run the rig 24/7 or just do day shift.
Okay, thank you.
And also on this map of Sandman, like within those red boxes, that's really where has been the historical focus, and they're the main prospects. But we're really interested in some of these blue lines represent faults, and we're really interested in some of those structural corridors that largely haven't been tested. There's very little drilling outside those red squares. And that's, again, where our geophysicist Dave is coming into the picture, because we've just completed a 3D IP survey, and that's a geophysical technique that essentially tries to find sulfides, disseminated sulfides, and sulfides tend to be correlated with gold mineralization. So we're seeing some great results doing that geophysical survey, that particular method, and we'll be testing a couple of those targets in this coming survey as well, just to see, are the 3D IP anomalies at North Hill linked to gold mineralization, or is there another conductor there giving us these responses? But so far that's looking really interesting, and we will be testing those as well in this first round. So Sandman's certainly our focus property. It's where we're spending about 75% of our cash, and then about the other quarter is going to be split between Cody and Big Balls. So Sandman very much is the flagship, and it's where we see the easiest ounces, shall we say. However, these other projects are really tantalizing exploration assets. At Cody, for example, we've got a sample of up to 12 grams a ton gold and over 5,000 grams a ton silver at the surface. So just phenomenal high-grade numbers. And now our technical team is trying to work out where the source of that mineralization is. That was found at the surface in a somewhat narrow vein, and we're really looking at the bigger picture. We're looking for multi-million ounce deposits and not really looking for remobilized skinny veins. So we've got an IP survey currently underway at this project as we speak. And again, that IP survey is aimed at identifying those identifying those disseminated sulfides, which tend to be correlated with the mineralization. So this is another project that we will definitely drill in 2021. And, you really don't need a large strike at those kind of numbers to add up to some significant ounces. So I consider it high risk, high reward. We'll drill a program for a few hundred thousand dollars, and then we're either going to find something spectacular, or we'll say this one's not going to be for us, and we'll move on to the next.
How much past drilling has been done at Coyote?
Not much. We purchased this recently, and we don't have a comprehensive historical data program on it. There's been some reported holes which aren't 43-101 compliant, such as that one, that shallow hole that's 30 to 35 feet for 8 grams a ton. But the data just isn't up to scratch to report that under the code. So it's very limited historical work that's of scientific nature. There has been previous mining. You can see that hole in the ground is where someone saw that outcropping gold and silver mineralization and literally started mining it. By all accounts, they made quite a bit of money mining it until they lost it. So we're going in there with a scientific, systematic approach. We've already done some geological mapping, soil sampling, next steps geophysics, which we're doing now, and then we'll drill it based on those that systematic science rather than just focus on the outcrop that's got the gold sticking out of it.
Okay, it might be too early to answer this question, but we're seeing high-grade gold and high-grade silver. What do you see this project developing as? Is it gold or silver?
You know, if I had to guess, I'd probably say silver. Just you can see those the grade contrast between the gold belly in that particular sample. And then I'm also seeing some polymetallic signatures. It's almost looking like a polymetallic porphyry in my opinion. But we'll know a lot more once we get our samples back from the laboratory. We're expecting samples that our geologists took in early January. Those samples are expected in a couple of weeks. And then we can look at those assay results and really like tell by the signature of all the various metals that we've got here, because we're seeing some lead, zinc and copper, not in high concentrations, but low concentrations that just point towards a porphyry kind of signature. But early days, Sandman, I can go through in detail the genesis of the ore there because you've got 1,000 drill holes. But here we don't really have any robust scientific data besides the limited rock samples that our team recently collected.
Okay, thank you.
And then our other project pipeline is Big Balls. And Big Balls is a project that our team picked up. And it's located adjacent to Kinross's Bald Mountain mine, which is about 5 million ounces. It's an operating asset of Kinross's. And Kinross's mine is located in a mountain range. And then you get to this pediment or this valley. And we believe the geology continues into that valley. But because of that cover, that pediment cover, it's never received any attention nor drill holes. So again, we're relying on geophysics here. We've recently completed a magnetic survey, and that magnetic survey is still being interpreted, but that the purpose of that was essentially to work out how deep all that cover is and whether we can test a couple of our geochemical anomalies. We've got some anomalism in gold and arsenic and mercury in our area. So it's for us, it's again trying to work out where that mineralization's come from. Has it been remobilized from Bald Mountain, or are we sitting on another Bald Mountain? And you know, that's a million-dollar question that we'll be testing this year as well. For us, for now, the number one priority, I'd say, is Sandman. And then I do think Cody will be the next ready to drill, largely due to a combination of logistics. And then the plan is, after we drill Cody, to go back to Sandman for that second round of drilling that I mentioned.
Okay. In terms of the mineralization or what you're seeing at Big Bald, is it undercover? Is it outcropping? What insights can you give us here?
Our main target is an undercover target that was based on geophysics, a gravity survey and a magnetic survey. And then we do have a little bit of outcrop to the south of our licenses at Big Bald, and that also has produced that anomalous gold, not mineralized, but anomalous. It's highly elevated gold, arsenic and mercury numbers. So we know we're in this like mineralized system. It's just, you know, really using all these clues to vector in. And it's a fantastic target in its own right. But our problem right now is we have so many fantastic targets. We've got 42 drill targets waiting for us at Sandman, for example. So we're just trying to prioritize where we've got our best chance at adding ounces as soon as possible. And right now, Sandman really represents our best chance at adding ounces. And given the resource estimate that we just completed, we add a few hundred thousand ounces based on that additional drill data. And now we also have recognized that the resources are open in a number of directions. So it's just a no-brainer that would go to where we've already got defined ounces to try and extend those ounces rather than go here, for example, which certainly warrants drilling. It's just a matter of prioritizing our dollars and maximizing our shareholders' chances of success.
Okay. You're not planning on JVing any of these projects though, right? They don't cost too much to hold. You can work them into the exploration plans.
Yeah, and not at the moment. We're not in discussions at the moment. Certainly not Sandman, or nor Cody for that matter. But we just haven't done enough at Big Balds to work out the depth of the target. You know, if it's a 500-meter depth to the top of the target, then that's something where we might seek a major to come in and put a few holes. But anything that's in the top 500 meters, there's just no reason why we would JV anything, and it's too early to know for Big Balls. For Cody and Sandman, there's obviously within the top 500 meters because we've got it sticking out of the ground.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So White Gold Bull. So I've spent the last 15 minutes or so talking about our existing projects. And most of our technical team are focused on adding ounces within those three projects. I personally am spending more of my time looking for additional ounces via new acquisitions. And on that note, you know, we're under CA, a number of CAs with a range of companies ranging from juniors to majors regarding non-core assets. You know, some have multi-million ounces in the ground, some have no ounces in the ground. So there's a massive spectrum. And for me, what I look for in an asset acquisition is if I can acquire the ounces cheaper than my team can find them via drilling, then that represents a great deal for our shareholders. And similarly to how we acquired the Sandman asset. So that's what I'm busy looking for. You know, we're trying to grow our ounce inventory to multiple millions of ounces via a combo of these acquisitions and also our exploration success. So I think it's going to be a very busy year for us. The gold price is remaining strong at, you know, north of $1,800. And at those kind of gold prices, it's just a wonderful time to really be developing some assets in Nevada.
One comment just on the potential of acquisitions, building out the company's portfolio. Can you discuss your relationship or at least how the deal came together for the Sandman property? Because you guys did manage to take that off of Newmont's hands, and it's one of the earlier transactions we've seen from majors offloading some of their non-core assets.
Sure. And the relationship with Newmont was a smooth one. It was also a slow process. It took probably almost a year. We were patient people, and we went through thorough due diligence, and they went through their due diligence of us as well, you know, to ensure that we're responsible corporate citizens and uphold environment, community, and cultural awareness. So I think it was a good match from a values perspective. Our values were aligned. And then it came down to it being a non-core asset of theirs that was excluded from the Nevada Gold Mines joint venture. So Nevada Gold Mines took their Newmont's operating assets, you know, recently, which left them with a couple of projects that didn't meet their criteria for whatever reason. And 500,000 ounces is significant for us, but it's not significant for Newmont. So I do believe there's going to be future synergies. Not only with Newmont, but with a number of other companies that have a different, you know, level that moves their dial. And for us, 500,000 ounces is not what we're all about either. We're looking for multiple millions of ounces. 500,000 ounces is a wonderful start, and it really does justify our current market cap when you've got 500,000 ounces of gold sitting basically at the surface in a mining-friendly state such as Nevada. So hopefully that answers the question. The relationship remains strong, and we would love to do something further with them and others.
Okay. Sherry, if you could just recap what the news flow is going to look like for everybody in the near term, just summarizing everything that we've talked about here, please.
Sure. So the next round of drilling is going to be loaded with news flow. We're planning on commencing that in a few weeks' time. Within the next couple of weeks, we've also got the IP geophysical data coming in for both Sandman and Coyote, and I anticipate drill targets will fall out of that data. We've got the soil and rock chip samples expected from Coyote. Again, all that work is in the lead up and the preparation of drilling. So every time we make an announcement, it's basically getting us closer and closer to the target. We will be keeping the share market, our investors fully informed with respect to our assay results at Sandman. We've identified a lab that has great turnaround time, American Assay Lab out of Reno, and they'll be processing our samples. And we do believe that, you know, starting in March, we should start having drill holes from Sandman come through. And as I mentioned before, we're starting on my number one hole. It's my favorite, like, I guess, open mineralization at Abel Knoll. And I just really am looking forward to seeing if that mineralization that ends in the 10 gram a ton hole does continue, or does it stop there? And there's no way I can guess that answer, but that drill hole will tell us how far that mineralization continues.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sherry. There's contact information here on this slide, so everybody can reach out to you and the team at Gold Bull. You all can reach out to me as well, fleck@kereport.com. I have been bringing Sherry on my show to update everybody as this company has progressed now into some near-term drilling. So that could be a nice catalyst. Plus, we'll see what kind of acquisitions you guys come up with. Sherry, is there anything you want to leave the audience with here?
I don't think so. Check our website for updates. Please feel free to join our newsletter, and then you'll get an email every time we make an announcement so you don't miss our big news. And it'd be great to have you along for the journey.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you found some value in this. Again, if you have any follow-up questions, you can contact Sherry or contact myself, and I can help you get those questions answered. So, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Sherry, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Corey.